Strap in, ladies and gentlemen. A Democrat governor just did something you're going to love. For Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, I'm Scott Ott. Thank you to the members at BillWhittle.com for making Right Angle possible. And folks, Governor Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania has been praised by the editorial board at the Wall Street Journal for doing the following. And it's basically a three-step plan. First of all, Governor Shapiro said that state agencies need to establish a strict timeline for issuing permits for any variety of things. There's a large number of things you have to get a state permit to do. Number two, he set up a single office for businesses and individuals to apply to for those permits. And this is the icing on the cake, Stephen Green. Number three is, if the state agency fails to issue the permit on time, the new Pennsylvania Payback Program, PA back program, actually refunds the fee to the applicant if the state misses its deadline. Steve, will it surprise you to know that since November in the state of Pennsylvania, the Secretary of State says all 55,000 permits that were applied for were issued within the time limit?
Goodness. It's almost as though incentives matter, isn't it?
Especially financial ones.
Yeah. You take money away from an agency? That's throwing holy water on the possessed child, you know? you just threaten them with that. It's game over, man. I would call that a good start. But mostly I think you're taking something that shouldn't even be there and streamlining it, but making it a little easier. What we need to start doing, what Pennsylvania needs to start doing, what the whole country needs to start doing, is eliminating things that you need permits for. Just most of it is complete BS. Hong Kong didn't used to be much. Even when the British were running it for about the first 40 or 50 years, there wasn't a whole lot of there. And after the Japanese got kicked out of there at the end of World War II and it became a British Crown colony again, or I guess it always was, just, you know, for a while the Japanese were running it. The governor, a British dude, I can't remember his name anymore, and I really should, because he's a really important figure in history, believe
it
or not.
He is an important guy, yeah.
He determined that the way to rebuild Hong Kong was to get the hell out of the way, and that no form to start a business would ever be more than one page. That was it. And most of that is pre-filled in. You just jot in the blanks, turn it in, and you're done. And I think there was some nominal application fee, just, you know, barely enough to cover the expense of processing the paperwork. And boom, you were in business. And this sleepy sort of fishing village port place became one of the great cities of the world in like 25, 30 years. I mean, boom, because incentives matter. And when you make it easier for people to get things done, they do things. Holy cow. It's a big shocker. So, yeah, I love what the governor is doing here. And I think we're seeing here with Governor – it's Governor Shapiro, correct?
Yes.
And also with Senator Fetterman, who a lot of us thought he was the big new progressive, giant version of AOC over in the Senate. And then he got his brain back, and it turns out that he's actually a pretty centrist dude. So I think what we're seeing here is what used to be Northeastern Republicans have been hunted to extinction, mostly because conservative Republicans didn't like them very much, have been replaced by these sort of centrist Democrats like Fetterman and Shapiro. That's good to see, if maybe not for Republicans overall, but it's good to see for the people of the state of Pennsylvania. And Scott, I know that's your home state. Now, if we could get some real conservatives in there to start chopping away at these agencies with a chainsaw, you know, a real bloodbath, that would be even better.
Mm. By the way, breaking news out of Hong Kong. Tuesday, Hong Kong's legislature passed a national security law at the behest of Beijing, thwarting decades of public resistance, says the Wall Street Journal, in a move that critics say will strike a lasting blow to the partial autonomy the city had been promised by China. So they're looks like they're headed back to the Stone Age, or in that general direction. Let's hope that doesn't come about. Bill, I thought it was interesting. The story or the editorial board's opinion piece said that the State Department in Pennsylvania, State Department of Environmental Protection, reports now that the permit backlog for developers from the Environmental Protection Agency there is down 41% in less than 6 months from what it had been. That there are so many people have to get permits to do business in most states. Car salesmen, pharmacists, real estate brokers. Anyway, all three of those categories are now getting licensed in less than half the time that they used to. Think about this, Bill. Nurses pay a $70 permit fee and a $95 additional fee that they have to pay up front, licensing fee, to have the government put a stamp on the credentials that they've already qualified for because they passed the state-approved test. So I know Steve's headed in the right direction, say, okay, this is great. Get them to happen faster. Now get them to happen not at all. Yeah. Nevertheless, Bill, I think we've long held on this program that we should applaud people on whatever side of the aisle when they do something that's headed in the right direction.
Yep.
Just to give you an idea how bad things can get, the city of Johnstown, Pennsylvania, the water utility there applied for a state permit to upgrade a dam that's part of their system. They just got the permit for that 5 years after applying for it. And during that time, they say the cost of building the dam has increased 20%.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I'll just let you take it from there.
Yeah. So, you know, when you see something that you think is a societal evil or wrong, maybe evil's a little too strong word for it, but something that we don't need and that's causing a lot of trouble, like the overregulation, the temptation's to want to go almost to the exact opposite side. So I don't need any regulations at all. I don't believe that. I don't think any rational, sane person believes that. I don't think any rational, sane person can look at the situation and not say that we are overregulated. And the people that keep calling for more regulations seem to me, in my experience, to be the people that don't have to abide by those regulations that they're calling for. So what's the solution to all of this? The solution, I think, is to take a look at regulations in general and to say, does this really need to be regulated? I'm not saying this could even happen politically. I'm saying in an ideal republic, right? You should be able to look at a situation and say, is this something that needs to be regulated or licensed? Do hairdressers really need a license? You know, I don't know. I personally have never gone to a hairdresser based on what school they graduated from in terms of their cosmetology, but they're dealing with chemicals and all the rest of it, but you get the idea. So I'll give you an example that I had personally dealing with the federal bureaucracy. And many, many years ago when I was flying, I had a kidney stone. Passed the kidney stone. That was a lot of fun because they're not stones. They're little sand burrs. They're purposely, intentionally designed to cause as much damage as possible and hurt as badly as they can. So being an honest person, when I went for my next flight physical, I had to take, as a private pilot, every 2 years, over 40 years old, every 2 years, I had to get a flight physical, which I'm in favor of. I like the idea. I don't think it's unreasonable to assume that if I'm going to be flying an airplane over somebody's house, especially with passengers, and I keel over, that's something that is part of the general population's nose, not just me swinging my fist up there in the sky. So I went, nope, 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 no, 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 no. Kidney stones, yes, no, 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 no. And my flight physical was declined. Why? Because you checked your kidney stones. Well, I had one. I passed one. It's gone. Yes, well, now the FAA is going to require to you're going to have to prove to the FAA that you don't have them now. Well, I'm standing here.
You're not doubled over in pain.
I'm not doubled over. Yeah, I'm standing here. So here's how the trail goes. And there's I think we can learn some lessons from this. Okay, I've had kidney stones before. It's not entirely unreasonable. So I had to go down, pay for an ultra scan that showed that my kidneys were clear, submitted this to the FAA, and 4.5 months later, I'm still grounded. Hmm. And not only am I still grounded, I don't know how long I'm going to be grounded for. There is no estimated date. It's not like your estimated hold time is 45 minutes. You have no idea when you will be able to fly again. And it's one of the only, in fact, maybe the only time in my life where I ever actually pulled a string. I knew a guy who I'd done a bunch of fundraising for, who had this organization to fly wounded veterans everywhere. And I told him about it. I said, any idea how long this is going to take? He said, I have a friend who's in up in the FAA. Let me make a phone call. And 3 days later, I got my my physical returned, approved. So I was embarrassed and ashamed that I'd used that string, but I used it. We shouldn't have to be in that situation. If we should be in a situation where there are as few regulations as possible. The only regulations that are there are ones that are clearly justifiable as a means of impacting other people's lives and not your own. And if a permit is required for something, it should be the responsibility of the government to clear that permit in a timely and effective and efficient fashion. And that is the compromise that I think a sane society would make. Now, on a purely theoretical level, because legislatures and regulatory bodies do nothing but add things and they never take things away, Scott, and it's not like Congress has to go to Washington at the beginning of a new congressional session and start from the beginning. All they do is add laws and add more laws and more regulations. So from a purely theoretical point of view, and I'm not joking about this, I think that every single law in the books, including rape and murder, ought to be sundowned every year. And I think the first thing that should happen in a legislative committee is, what laws do we decide right now immediately need to be renewed? Laws against murder? Yes, we're all in favor of that. Laws against rape? Yes. Laws against assault? Yes. Stealing, arson, all of these things. That'll take them a month where they're not doing more damage. And then you should have to look at every single one of these laws and regulations and say, is this necessary? And if it's not, it should go away, because it is a ratchet, Scott. It's a one-way thing. The regulations increase and increase and increase and increase and increase and increase and increase, and they never go down. And that's a problem. That's how the republic dies from blocked arteries.
Demosclerosis is the word they coined for it, I think, in the 80s.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think it's like if you worked in an office and there are rules for how you conduct yourself in the office, and those rules were established by summer interns. They come in, they work for a little while, then they leave, but their rules last forever.
And time to clear the brush, burn some stuff down.
I thought there were several interesting things about this story, other than my natural tendency to want to say, when your opponent is headed in your direction, you know, sweep all the pebbles out of his way and let him keep walking.
Rose petals.
Yes, exactly. That was encouraging to me to read that story. When I worked briefly as an elected official in county government, I remember talking to some of the agencies, particularly the human service agencies that provided various kinds of, you know, mental health counseling, various ways to try to help people physically or mentally. The question I asked them, because they were bringing us information, they said, this is our budget and this is how many client hours we did last year. And I didn't know what a client hour was, other than an hour spent with a client. And I said, how do you know if you're doing a good job? Like, I was allowing them to define that. And they didn't really have an answer, because they hadn't been asked that question. Like, that's not, they get measured by how much money they spend and how many hours they spend with clients, not even how many clients they serve. And there was no metric for measuring the outcomes of those interactions with those clients. So I said, you know, how do you know if you're doing a good job? And then how can we hold you accountable for that? You know, help me help you. We want to do a good job in oversight. So you're doing the boots on the ground work there. Tell me how we should evaluate you. And I couldn't get an answer out of them. The other thing that occurs to me here is that occupational licenses, like we talked about, pharmacists, car salesman, real estate broker, typically, or hairdresser, as Bill mentioned, the licensing is generally promoted and instituted at the instigation of individuals or organizations who are trying to create a barrier to entry for others in their profession. So the reason why there is licensing is because the people who were already in that business don't want others to come into that business without their say-so. They want to be the funnel, basically, that allows people to come in. So, you know, if it's real estate, you know, the National Association of Realtors wants you should have to go to the National Association of Realtors, because that's the professional organization that handles that. And so anytime you see an occupational license, you should say, you know, qui bono, the old Latin, who benefits? You know, who's actually benefiting from this? Is it the customer? Well, the organization will argue, who pushed that legislation will argue, yes, it's the customer. You get a much more professional class of nail polishers if you have this license. But really, it's the state government that's collecting the fees and the people who are already in the nail polishing business who are making it harder for you to get into that nail polishing business. Shapiro, I think, Governor Shapiro has done something that politicians rarely do, and that is he has made his accomplishments measurable to the voters and made himself and his downline organization accountable for those results. And therefore, the Secretary of State can have a press conference and say the 55,000 permit applications that have come in from November have all been processed and issued within the mandated time frame. And that is just sweet music to a process person like me who hears that, oh, okay. Now, so that's step one, as Steve says, get the government to keep its promises to do what it says it's going to do. I think we should take this to the next level, especially with the U.S. Congress, and you can do this in all your state legislatures, and say, if the legislature fails to pass a budget that is balanced and on time within the mandatory time frame, then the tax money gets returned to the taxpayers. If I think we would hit our deadlines every time without fail, as Governor Shapiro is demonstrating in Pennsylvania. For Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, I'm Scott Ott. Thanks to the members at BillWhittle.com for making Right Angle possible.